Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Back in mid-February, the RBA board made a move it hadn't made in over 4 years. It decided to cut interest rates. Not that I need to remind many of you listeners. As a result, the official cash rate is currently sitting at 4.10%. That is, unless something utterly unexpected happens between recording and when this episode goes out. And if it does, I'm very sorry. I have obviously jinxed us. Now, there are plenty of implications to the RBA's recent decision, but one of the major ones is the impact it'll have on mortgage rates and obviously the millions of Australians who are currently paying off a loan. So on today's episode of Friends with Money, we are going to take a bit of a look at what's happened in the world of home loans in the weeks following that RBA decision. But we're also going to have a chat about refinancing, you know, what's involved, how to do it, and how much homeowners with a mortgage may be able to save by doing so. Because the fact of the matter is that while plenty of lenders have been reducing their rates in response to the recent RBA cut, not all interest rates are made equally. And on a debt as mammoth as a mortgage, even a small rate difference can have a big impact. Righto, that's enough blathering from me. It is time to introduce our guest. So I'm very pleased to say that joining us today for the very first time on Friends with Money is Finder's Head of Consumer Research, Graham Cook. Graham, welcome to Friends with Money.
G'day, Tom. How you doing? Good to be here.
Oh, I'm very well, especially seeing that that lovely Peloton in the background of your screen, which we kind of promised not to talk about. But there we go. Listeners can paint a picture of what your recording room looks like there, Graham.
Or try and stay healthy at least, you know.
No, it's very impressive. Graham, to start us off, what have we seen in the way of, I guess, a reaction from banks and other lenders to the RBA board's rate cut so far?
Yeah, it's been a really interesting couple of weeks, actually, in terms of RBA. Just for one, in terms of media interest in it. I've been talking about RBA for 10 years in Australia in the media, and I've never seen as much interest as over the last couple of weeks in the build-up to this rate cut. I've never done as many interviews. It's people are chewing at the bit. What's the phrase? People have been very eager for this rate cut massively. And in terms of the reaction from the banks, it's been really interesting because of all of this intense focus on a rate cut being required, because of all this intense focus on the cost of living. We've seen every single bank who's announced a cut that I've seen pass on the full rate cut to consumers. So all 25 basis points, which I think is the first time, at least since I've been working in this area, that's happened, where every single bank has passed on the full cut. They usually, some of them will keep a little bit back for themselves. So I think that just shows the kind of social pressure on banks to give some sort of relief to households who are feeling it hard because of the cost of living.
That's so interesting. In a former life, I was even more involved in mortgages, and I remember, you know, covering other RBA cuts and those kind of, you know, drips and drabs of announcements coming through and lenders kind of holding out for as long as possible, sometimes altogether. So interesting to hear that, you know, that kind of social pressure, as you talked about, is obviously playing a role.
Yeah. Well, what'll be interesting to see is whether this holds from here, you know? So like we've seen it this time. Mm. The last time we saw a series of rate cuts, there was kind of four cuts in a row. On average, the banks passed on around 80% of the cut overall, right? So I don't know if we'll see the full rate cut passed on if the RBA cuts again. So what's going to be interesting to see is if they do this again next time or if they then start to pull a little bit back for themselves.
We'll have to keep tabs on that and yes, call some lenders to account if they don't do that down the track. As I said before, Graham, I think many people probably, you know, appreciate that not all home loans have the same interest rate. There's obviously a real mix of offers out there on the market. So what kind of range are we talking about here? And I guess, how much of an impact could this difference have when it comes to someone's mortgage repayments?
Well, the basis point cut itself, so they cut by 25 basis points, a quarter of a percent. For the average mortgage holder in Australia who has a mortgage of about $640,000, that'll result in $100 a month in savings, $1,200 over the course of a year. It's not huge, but it's a step in the right direction for most households. The thing is, though, you can often get that kind of saving or more by looking at refinancing your loan rather than sticking with the individual lender that you have. So looking at rates in the market right now, the kind of best rate, the average outstanding owner occupier rate from the RBA was 6.1 before the cash rate cut. So applying the full 25 off that would make it 5.85 as the kind of a good rate in the market right now. The lowest rate in the market right now, when I checked as of this morning, and this could change later on today, is GNC Mutual, have a rate of 5.59. So that's essentially another basis point cut off a good rate in the market. So if you were in theory to move the GNC Mutual, you could get two rate cuts in one go.
So obviously a couple of $1,000 a year, that would save based on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would save. And obviously you'd save an awful lot more if you're on a bigger mortgage. This is a 640-day mortgage. Anyone who bought recently or bought in one of the big capitals will be on a, you know, often a significantly bigger mortgage than that. So they're due to make bigger savings. And that's only if you're coming off 5.85. A lot of people will be on higher rates than that too. The standard variables for the big banks are significantly higher than that right now.
Yes, I can imagine they are. Graham, you mentioned the word refinancing there, and that kind of segues us very nicely onto our kind of main topic for today, which is refinancing. Before we dive in, though, I think we assume that everyone knows what a particular term means, and you know, possibly a lot of listeners do. But when we talk about refinancing, in very simple terms, what are we talking about?
So it's basically just moving your business from one bank to another. You're taking the debt that you're paying back to your bank, and another bank will buy that. They will pay off your home loan essentially with the bank you're currently with, and your loan will move to a new bank. And it used to be kind of tricky to do this in the market. There used to be a fair bit of work involved from the consumer's perspective, but nowadays it's relatively straightforward. You generally just have to find the better product that you want to move to, and they'll handle everything with your current bank and move your kind of loan across. So it's actually a relatively straightforward process and a good way to save. Now, a lot of people kind of think it might be more hassle than actually it tends to be nowadays.
Well, that brings us very nicely to one of the questions I had before we kind of dive into refinancing a little bit more, which is, you know, what if you actually really like your current lender? You know, what if you have all your banking products with that particular lender, or really like the way that your mortgage is structured? Is there, you know, any potential to negotiate with them to get a better rate? Or is that just, you know, a farcical idea?
No, I think that is actually a good question. That should be your first port of call. Before you look at refinancing, you should reach out to your bank that you're currently with and see if you can get a better deal. So the best thing to do is probably, first of all, look at the market, jump onto a comparison site like Finder, see what the lowest rates available are, then call your bank and say, I have the option to move to this rate, and see what they can do. And usually they will be willing to do something to keep you on board as a customer. Because of all of these cash rate movements, the competition is really fierce in the market right now. So banks are fighting with each other to get new customers on board, and they don't want to be simultaneously losing customers in this kind of high focus environment. So best thing to do is start with your current lender and see what they'll do. And often they will. The rate that I'm paying with my bank, for example, is below the rate advertised on their website, because I was able to negotiate a slightly better deal. So it's definitely worth starting there. But if they don't budge, then it's time to start looking at other options.
Oh, that's great to know that you've managed to do it yourself then, Graham. Hopefully that gives people a little bit of inspiration. Gives me a bit of inspiration, actually. I'll have to go and put the squeeze on my bank after our call ends.
Yeah, I mean, it never hurts to ask. I've been on an interesting home mortgage journey over the last few years, actually, because I only bought my house a few years ago, but as soon as the cash rate started to rise around the time. So we do an RBA cash rate survey on Finder, where we survey economists and ask them what the cash rate is going to do. And around the time when it became clear the cash rate was going to start rising because inflation was increasing, I actually contacted my bank and paid to break my fixed loan. So I had a fixed loan at a certain rate. I paid to break that to get to a lower rate and lock it in for 4 years. I think it cost me at the time $4,000 or something like that to lock in 1.89% before the cash rate started to rise. And I was worried that I was spending too much and that was going to be a waste of money. But nobody foresaw how many cash rate increases we were going to get. And within 2 years, I was saving that amount of money every 2 months. So definitely, you know, having a bit of, taking a risk sometimes, having a bit of forward thinking, doing a bit of homework can save you in the long run.
I'm very jealous. Very jealous.
Oh, don't be. Right. It's just gone up to 6% now. So it expired in January. So, you know, I'm on the same boat as everybody else now.
You're back in the pack with us. Good to hear. Graham, let's get back onto refinancing then. So for, you know, people that, you know, do want to go down the refinancing track, that they haven't had any success with their existing lender or just don't even want to try, beyond kind of, I guess, establishing what their rate is and maybe, you know, comparing it to, other rates on the market, how else should they start to prepare?
So first thing to do is know the situation that you're coming from if you're going to look at refinancing. So know your financial position, look at your income, look at your expenditure, have all that information ready, because that is the type of information that a new lender is going to ask for when you move across. But also have a think about the things that are important to you aside from just the interest rate. So you'll see a lot of smaller lenders have really, really good interest rates, but they don't necessarily have some of the extras that come with the big banks, like offset accounts. And things like customer service can be big. You know, so for example, when I was getting my home loan initially, I was looking at one of the smaller lenders, but trying to arrange the home loan, every time I had to call, I'd speak to a new person, you'd be on hold for an hour and a half. It was just I didn't want, you know, 40 years of this kind of customer service. So I ended up going with one of the big banks because they answered the phone pretty much immediately. So those kind of things you want to factor in, how important those things are to you, as well as just getting the cheapest rate before you make your decision. But know as much as you can about yourself and kind of know what you want is the good thing to do when you're starting.
I think that's a really excellent point. I think before I took out a mortgage myself, I would have been, you know, receptive to the idea that I would have gone with almost anyone if I could get a cheaper rate. Mm. But now that I have one and I can see the benefit of an offset account and multiple offset accounts, actually, I think I'd very much like to keep those. So I would have to find another lender that kind of offered that same level of flexibility when it came to offsets, as well as a decent rate as well. So that would limit my options.
Offsets are really key, especially in this current market. So when I moved to the high interest rate in January, I used to have multiple different savings accounts because I'd find that we monitor all the rates. So I knew what the best rate was. So I'd move money around to whatever the best savings account was, because all savings accounts don't cost any money. So you may as well have six of them. It doesn't affect you. Just move your money around. I was doing that. But now that I've moved on to a high variable rate, I've moved all of my savings into the offset account, because the offset account is offsetting nearly 6% interest in the mortgage rather than earning 5% interest as savings. But on top of that, you have to pay tax on the savings that you make in your savings account, where that is extra with your mortgage. So if you have an offset account right now and you have a high variable rate, keeping money in there is going to benefit you more than having it in savings.
We could almost do an entire episode on offset accounts, I think. And yeah. maybe we'll have to get you back on to that, because it's definitely a topic I like talking about.
Yeah, sure.
So when it comes to, I guess, the kind of practical side of refinancing then, Graham, what are people's options? Can they do it themselves? Will they have to do it through a mortgage broker? I guess, what are the options here for people? And what are some of the kind of, I guess, the pros or cons involved with those various options?
Yeah, those are basically the two routes. So you can go directly to a lender, or you can go via a mortgage broker. The mortgage brokers will have relationships with the banks and can negotiate on your behalf rather than you having to negotiate yourself, and you can go through them. So they're the kind of two options. Some people like to go through a mortgage broker because there's a little bit less hassle involved than just doing it yourself, but you can sometimes get a better deal doing it yourself. So maybe both are worth exploring before you look at a mortgage broker. Maybe jump online and see what low rates in the market look like right now. So when you contact a mortgage broker, you know whether they're coming back to you with a good rate. I personally have been going directly to lenders myself, but mortgage brokers are pretty popular in Australia because they make it an awful lot easier and they can negotiate for you.
Yeah, so I guess it just depends on, I guess, your maybe level of comfort in negotiating, your level of expertise and your knowledge, you know, about, you know, the various options in the market, how comfortable you are approaching, you know, lenders and potentially doing it yourself. So really kind of an individual choice at the end of the day.
Yeah. So it's two very different ways of going about the same thing. So it's kind of up to you which way you want to go. But being aware of what the rates look like in the market from the beginning of either position really gives you the edge.
No, excellent point. Graham, we've touched on, I guess, how people can prepare to refinance and their options for refinancing, whether it's going alone or going with a broker. But is there anything else that would be refinancers will want to think about or prepare along the way that we haven't already touched on?
Yeah, I mean, there are some situations when refinancing won't work for you. So anyone who's in negative equity, for example, there won't be a lot of people like this in Australia right now, but if someone takes out a mortgage, for example, with a low deposit, say a 5% deposit, and then the house prices in their area drop by 5%, it means they owe the bank more money than the house is worth. That makes it very difficult to refinance. Things that will make it difficult to refinance as well are things like your credit score. So actually, before you begin this journey, it's a good idea to check what your credit score is. So your credit score is awarded by one of three credit score bodies in Australia, and it looks at your credit history and gives you a score out of 1,000 to to tell banks how reliable you would be to lend to. And that score will determine how many home loans you can apply for and often determine the rates you can get, not just that, but savings accounts, credit cards, and all that stuff as well. So checking your credit score before you start would be a good kind of thing to look at. You can do that for free on Finder, and there's multiple other places you can do it as well. But that's a good thing to know, because the higher that is, the more bargaining power you have when you do start the refinancing journey.
And one final kind of myth of maybe it's not a myth, maybe it's just something that's worth addressing is a point that you've already done yourself, Graham, and that's breaking a fixed loan in order to refinance with a different lender and what I assume was a better rate or a better outcome for you. So that is a possibility then. That's not just something that people should necessarily rule out of hand if they are on a fixed rate.
I think in the time when I did that, it was something worth looking at in an environment where we're expecting the rate to fall, which is kind of where we are now. So our panel of economists are expecting a couple of rate rises this year. I know the RBA came out and said, don't expect any more after this one. Generally, economists are still predicting a couple
rate
more.
Rate cuts, you mean there, Graham, sorry.
Yeah. And in an environment like that, generally locking into a fixed rate loan doesn't make sense because the rate is going to drop and could get lower than it is now by the end of the loan. Now, there are some fixed rate loans that'll be significantly lower than the variable rate that's being offered. And if you think the rate isn't going to drop as much, if you think Trump's tariffs, for example, are going to actually push up inflation, then this might be the last rate cut we see for a while, then that might be something worth looking at. But in an environment where the rate's likely to drop further and inflation is under control, maybe be cautious. But if you're on a fixed rate that is not good value, you know, and you can get a better deal, it might be worth paying that breaking fee to do so. But you really need to kind of know what you're doing.
So, Graham, one final question I had, and it relates to something you talked about already, which is the idea of future rate cuts later in the year. You know, what's the kind of expectations around those? And I guess, how should people, I guess, prepare potentially for those or react to the current situation that we're in after the RBA's cut in February?
Yeah, good question, Tom. Actually, because your reaction to this cut will determine potentially whether we get any more cuts. So the reason the RBA has cut is because the inflation number in Australia has come down to within target between 2 and 3%. I think it's 2.4 at the moment. Trimmed mean inflation, which is another inflation figure, which takes out the bouncy numbers and gets the underlying kind of core inflation, that's at 3.2. So that's slightly above the target. So inflation's looking good, but it's not perfect. If those inflation numbers start to go up in any form, that will make the RBA very cautious about issuing any more rate cuts this year. So inflation needs to stay low for more rate cuts to come. And that means how people spend the rate cuts they've currently got will make a difference. So you're going to get about $100 off your home loan and from this current rate cut. You could take that out, you could spend it, you could save it, you could invest it. The best thing to do probably is leave it in your home loan. Keep your repayments where they are and don't reduce them if you can afford to, because that will shave about a year off your home loan. So that's beneficial. But also it will mean you're less likely to push up inflation, and it means more rate cuts are more likely to come further down the line, which I think is what everybody wants.
It's a really interesting perspective. I'll have to take that into account when our lender passes on that cut, or hopefully does in the next couple of days. Graham, I could talk about home loans all day, obviously. I think that's pretty clear at this point, but we've covered off so much ground today, so we best leave it there. Thank you so much for your time, for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast at long last.
Thank you, Tom. Now, we've talked in writing articles a few times, so it's good to be on the podcast and chat with you directly. Lots of fun. I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Absolutely. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news, or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.